When a large religious service was being conducted at the Golden Gate Exposition in San Francisco, many people quickly became aware that the minister delivering the speech was not thoroughly versed in the Bible. Although a gifted speaker, he began to direct most of his eloquence against the power of the blood of Christ. In the crowd was an elderly lady and someone who was there by the name of Ruth Marsden relates that when he ended, a timid elderly lady stood up in the midst of the crowd and softly began to sing a great hymn that we have in our hymn book, by the way, by William Cowper, as a touching rebuttal to the modernist remarks. A hush fell over the assembly as they heard these faint but familiar words. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Before she could begin the second verse, close to 100 people rose in the crowd and joined her in song. By the time the third verse came around, they estimate that over 1,000 were standing, singing this blessed song of the faith. The triumphant, thrilling verse rang out over the audience. Dear dying Lamb, thy precious blood shall never lose its power, till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. Many were deeply moved as that humble believer stood up for her Lord and with the light of heaven upon her face gave testimony that she had found peace through the blood of his cross. Our Bible tells us here, the precious word of God tells us here that if you are and if I am redeemed this morning, I am not redeemed because I put money in the offering. Do you see that there? It doesn't say it quite like that, but it says that we're not redeemed by silver and gold. There are some who possibly have an idea in their mind from teaching in a church. I say church really loosely, that taught about the importance, and yes, it is important to give, but it has nothing to do with my eternal home. It has nothing to do with getting favor with God. And that's what the Bible says here. I'm not redeemed with things that are corruptible, which is money, you know. It doesn't last. As this song says, it's his blood will never, ever lose its power. It doesn't matter if the prime minister agrees, or world leaders agree, or the premier agrees. We're praying for all of these people, by the way, that they would hear the gospel and be saved if they're not. It doesn't matter how our country is becoming more and more of a pagan nation. I stand here before you today with the word of God in front of me, and I'm nothing but a sinner saved by grace, but this book is all powerful, and it will never lose its power. The blood of Christ will never lose its power. There is no one outside of the saving power of the precious word of God. Anyone can be saved. Though many believe in a God, if you will, with a small g, they have a conflicting view of the God of the Bible. Idea that there is an absolute truth. For me, it's settled. I wonder, is it settled for you? That we have a book of absolute truth. It isn't some of it is true and some of it is not true. It doesn't contain the Word of God. It is the Word of God. We're going to need to settle that in our heart. I can't settle it for you. You're going to have to settle it in your heart. And if you haven't, I must tell you that there are days yet ahead in our lives where it's going to be very difficult to live if we don't have something that we say, this is truth, and it is settled in my heart and my life. I'm thankful for a Bible. Again, I'm thankful for it. Some today reject the idea that there is a devil. See, if you settle that this is the truth, then you'll know in here it tells us that we have an enemy. And our enemy is Satan. I don't have time to tell you the whole story, but Satan was a created angel. You can read about it in the book of Isaiah. And he was a created angel. God created him. He was the most beautiful. He had music ability, the Bible tells us. I mean, he was the top angel of angels. And yet, inside him was a free will. God gave the angels a free will, just like he's given you and me. And there came a day where Satan said, I want to be like the Most High. And he gave those eyes, all those I will. And any time we try to take ourselves and put ourselves above God, it's never going to end well. And it didn't end well for Satan, Lucifer, if you will. And he was cast out of heaven and numbers of angels followed him. Those are what we would call demons today. And so we find that where? In the Bible. We don't find it in the comic book. We don't find it in a novel. Yep, some have written about these things in fiction and all of that. I'm not saying it's wrong, but I'm saying we find these truths in the Word of God. And so, yes, there is an enemy that is out to destroy you. There is an enemy who is out to destroy me. There is an enemy who's out to destroy the church. There's an enemy that's in, but how can we combat this enemy? And how can we have victory? That's what we're talking about this morning. You see, the victory that we have is not in our talent. The victory that we have is not in our abilities. The victory that we have is not in wearing a suit and tie or a dress. The victory that we have is what it's talking about right here. We have the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and there's nothing Satan can do once the blood is applied. I ask you this morning, has the blood been applied to your life? Oh, it's not literal that you have to do like they did in the Old Testament day. I'm kind of thankful for that. We're beyond those things. But there came a day in the land of Egypt after being in bondage hundreds and hundreds of years, and they had the 9 plagues, and now they came to the 10th plague. And the 10th plague involved a lamb that was without blemish and without spot, which was a picture of our Savior, who the Bible says here in verse 19. Are you there in our text? Sorry, I'm kind of all over this morning, just following the leading of the Lord. But notice verse 19. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And what we can do with that is we can go back into the days of Egypt in bondage. And when that 10th plague came, Moses told the people, okay, tonight's the last night. It's going to be something. A death angel's coming. Now again, did that take faith to do that? Did it take faith to listen to Moses? And because, I mean, really, think about that. Kill a lamb, put its blood over our doorpost. Logically, what does that sound like? Crazy, thank you. Because that's what it sounds like. Let's go get a lamb that doesn't have any problems with its feet or blemishes or anything like that, and we're going to cut its neck, and we're going to take that blood, and we're going to wipe it on the doorposts, and that's what Moses said is going to prevent death from coming into our home. So it took faith for them to say, okay, we're doing that. And so today, that same faith is needed for you and for me to say, okay, Now, we don't have to do it exactly like that. We just have to accept again what the Word of God says. I'm not telling you that it's the Word of Ben. This is the Word of God. They didn't have the Bible in the days of Moses yet. And so Moses had what we call direct revelation. There is no more direct revelation. If anybody says, I got a direct revelation from God, I would encourage you to kindly not listen to them anymore. Because this is the final authority, the Word of God. I don't need any more direct revelation from God. God doesn't speak to me. He speaks to me through His Word. Yes, so I'm not saying God doesn't speak. But this is His revelation. Nothing else is being revealed. It's in here. Everything in here has already been revealed. And so, they, by faith, they put that blood on the doorposts. The death angel came through, and everyone's home that had blood on the doorposts, the death angel passed by. What caused the death angel to pass by? Blood was applied. Faith applied the blood. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I'm thankful today that God's Word is not so concerned about my self-image or my self-esteem or my self-love. But I find fulfillment in the Word of God. It doesn't matter what nationality, it doesn't matter how good I can speak or not speak, it doesn't matter what level of education I have or don't have, my satisfaction and fulfillment is in the Word of God and in the God of the Word. And He's provided a way for us to be redeemed. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, if you turn over there just a couple pages, we want to pray that Anchor Baptist Church is always a church that preaches the Bible, that we know that even as the preacher is delivering it, he is a weak vessel. The preacher is a weak vessel. It doesn't matter who it is. But this is not a weak vessel. This is a powerful book. It's an all-powerful book. But we know that even though the preacher is a weak vessel, he has the Holy Spirit of God in him and the Word of God here on the pulpit and the Word of God in your lap. And we always want to come with an idea of thus saith the Lord. Not thus saith the preacher, but thus saith the Lord. And here we find in 1 Corinthians 1 and 18, we want to be aware of this. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the what? Power of God. So you know what? You should go out of here this morning, and within the next 2 hours we'll be done. Amen? Okay? Are you awake? It's not going to be 2 hours, all right? I can't stand that long, okay? And one bonus, right? And you know what? We should go out of here in the next 30 minutes or so or less, and we should have, as believers, we should leave this place, not because of the preacher, but because of the cross, we should leave this place with more power than when we came in. Now, we can't really get more power, but we can utilize the power that is in us. Because you see, as a believer, you have God's Spirit in you. And the preaching of the cross, as we hear the preaching of the cross as a believer, it's just kind of like as we hear the hymns that sing about the cross and the blood of Christ and the victory in Jesus that Timothy was playing earlier before most of us got here. And those kind of things, what are they doing? They're putting a spirit of revival in us where, yes, there's some things of the week that we've carried and it's difficult and it's a challenge. But within us is the Spirit of God. And when we hear the preaching of the cross, it's power. It's revival, and it's what we need. It's what I need. I'm listening as much as I'm speaking. A cross without blood is no salvation. you'll allow me just a few moments to speak about some of our hymns quickly. Our hymn book is filled with songs about the blood. One of them is called Nothing But the Blood by Robert Lowry. This classic hymn was written in 1876. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. It emphasizes the power of Jesus' blood to wash away sin and bring redemption. Another one. Are you washed in the blood? It's a question. By Elisha A. Hoffman. Written 2 years later, 1878. Again, it asks a question. Are you washed in the blood? That's why I'm so thankful for our hymn book, that even before the Bible is opened, there are biblical principles that we are singing. The lyrics celebrate in this song the power of Jesus' blood to cleanse and save. What do we need to be cleansed from? Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know, I heard a preacher this morning describing that verse. I wasn't planning on it. It's nowhere here, but, you know, listening to preaching this morning. And he said, can you imagine if somebody tried to run as fast as they could and jump across? And I just lost what it's called in the States, that big, what? Grand Canyon. Thank you. Good thing you two were here today. Amen. I need help. I write a note. Hopefully Gabriel and Kevin are there if I forget. I mean, he could run as fast as he could be the great. Okay, he could be the greatest jumper. I mean, the one that's got all the gold medals. But there's nobody that's going to be able to run and jump across the Grand Canyon. What are they going to do? They're going to fall short. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's so many people today, they're running as fast as they can to get to God. Some are using religion. I'm going to run as fast as I can and I'm going to get to God because I'm religious. And I'm sorry, but that doesn't get us to God. And some are running as fast as they can, and they're jumping and they're trying to jump to get to God again because they've put money in the offering plate. And you know, we need that. The church needs that. But that's not what you need and I need to get to heaven. And they're running as fast as they can because they are, you know, trying to be good. I mean, they come to church. They even have a Bible. But I'm sorry, none of these things are qualified for all of sin and come short of the glory of God. None of these things get us to the glory of God. And it's going to be a sad day, and I'm saying this lovingly, but it's going to be a sad day if you're depending on any of those things that I just talked about. It's going to be a really sad day when you take your last breath. I'm not trying to be unkind. If you've fallen short of the glory of God because you're trying to get to God in your own way and you've ignored the simple way that the Bible teaches us, and we're coming to that, then when you take your last breath, your first breath is not going to be in heaven. You will not be absent from the body and present with the Lord. You will spend eternity. As the Bible says, the second death will take place. Revelation 20:14, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And there'll be no do-overs. Please, this morning, I can't make you do anything. But I'm praying that the Holy Spirit of God is. Jesus even said, I'm knocking. And if you'll just open the door and let me in, that's all it takes. Power in the Blood is another one. It was written in 1899. I don't know what it was about the late 1800s. Maybe I should study that a little bit and see. Maybe there was a genuine attack on the blood of Christ or something, and all these hymn rhymes. I don't know this to be true. I'm just saying it's interesting that all of these hymns were written within 30 years of each other. These lyrics, listen to this. These lyrics encourage power in the blood, right? Proclaims the power of Jesus' blood to conquer sin. Better than spinach, amen? Popeye's got nothing on the power of the blood. And the lyrics of this song, written in 1899, encourage believers. All right, now we're talking to the saved. Encourage believers. You've already accepted Christ as your Savior. It encourages us to take refuge in the blood of Christ. Some of the words are, there is power, power, wonder-working power. I like that one. I like to add some powers in there. When you're singing the chorus, you can try to slip in an extra power or two. It sounds like a machine gun going off, you know? There is power, 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 wonder-working power. You only get to hear it once, so that's it. I don't want to scare you. Refuge in the blood of Christ. Victory. Remember, Satan is real. Okay? He's as real as that TV is real. And he wants to destroy your testimony. He wants to destroy your marriage. He wants to destroy your walk with God. He wants to destroy everything. That's all he does is destroy. But it doesn't have to be that way. Because there's power in the blood of the Lamb. Another one, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, written by Elisha Hoffman and John G. Foote, when I see the blood, Christ our Redeemer died on the cross, died for the sinner, paid all his due. Sprinkle your soul with the blood of the Lamb, and I will pass over you. Talking about what we already discussed with the nation of Israel in plague number 10. There is a fountain filled with blood. We mentioned that earlier. Jesus paid it all. Redeemed, written by Fanny Crosby. When? 1882. There you go. And on. Throughout the New Testament, we learn the emphasis of the blood of Jesus Christ. Number one, quickly, we have redemption through his blood. Okay, if you're in 1 Peter, turn back just a few pages to Colossians. Going toward the front of your Bible. Not very far away, though. Colossians chapter 1. This is kind of the application. We'll be done here in just a few minutes. Thank you for listening. Thank you for praying. Colossians 1:14. These are good verses to mark. Because Satan has a way of trying to discourage you if you're a Christian and say, you're not saved, you're not, and do all that. We have these verses. If we've accepted what God has given for salvation, we have these verses. Colossians 1:14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. We are bought back, if you will. We are redeemed. See, when I was born, I was not born a child of God. Now, that sounds terrible to say that a little 6.5-pound baby, 20 inches long, June 28, 1973, born in Athens, Ohio, was a child of the devil. But that's what I was. I was not a child of God when I was born. That's the mistake. A lot of people think, well, everybody's a child of God. No, everybody's not a child of God. Because, see, when I was born, there was a problem. The reason why I couldn't be a child of God when I was born is because I had a sin nature. How did I get it? From my dad. How did he get it? From his dad. And you could trace this all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world. And because sin entered into the world, what came with it? Death. Someone asked me Wednesday night about all the problems and difficulties and things. And I said, here's the quick concise answer. The reason why all of this is out there is one word: sin. Sin destroys. So when I was born, you know, beautiful, bouncing baby Ben, right? I wasn't a child of God because I had a sin nature. Sin and God do not mix at any point. Because why? God is holy. Be ye holy, for I am holy, the scripture says. Not one time did my dad sit me down and say, Ben, you're 5 years old now. I'm going to teach you about stealing. Or I'm going to teach you how to tell a lie. Nobody ever had that happen in your life either. Now, sometimes we learn by example, bad examples of people in our life, okay? But let's be honest, all of us have a sin nature, okay? No one had to be taught to sin. Fast forward ahead, though, when I was 9 years old. When I was 9 years old, I'd been hearing the gospel since I was born. And when I was 9 years old, it finally hit me that I needed a Savior. I was not a child of God. But I understood the gospel enough as that a 9-year-old can understand that I was a sinner, that I disobeyed my parents many times, that I disobeyed which meant I disobeyed God. So the Bible says here, I am redeemed by His blood. And so as a 9-year-old boy, I asked Jesus Christ to be my personal Savior. It wasn't because my dad was a Christian. It wasn't because my mom was a Christian. It wasn't because a pastor, whatever. It wasn't because my grandma was a Christian. No, I had to personally say, I need Jesus. And as soon as that happened, and by faith, I made that decision from my heart, then there was an unbelievable transaction that took place. The blood of Christ was applied to my life. And I was no longer a child of the devil. Immediately, I became a child of God. And now, as we've said in here several times over, we have great victory as Christians through the blood of Christ, redeemed. Number two, we have peace through the blood of Christ. So, number one, we have redemption. Number two, we have peace. You're still in Colossians. Turn over one page, maybe, or maybe the same page, to verse 20 of chapter 1, please. It says, and having made peace through the blood of His cross. So peace came through the blood of His cross. I needed peace with God. Because why? Because I'm a sinner. God is holy. So the cross gave me peace with God. And now as a Christian, you know what I need? I don't need peace with God anymore. I have it. I'll have it until the day I die. But here's what I need. The peace of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. The fruit of the Spirit. The only people in these two rooms that are able to have those fruit in their life are people who are saved. Because it is not a fruit of works. Fruit of the Spirit. And they come to you and they come to me immediately. We get saved. And how do we have that? We have that because of the peace of the blood of the cross. Number three. We are made nigh by the blood of the cross. I'll explain that. Made nigh. N-I-G-H. It means we're close. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 2. Thank you for listening. Coming in here. So we have redemption through the blood. We have peace through the blood. We are made nigh, or we are made close. Look what it says in Ephesians 2:13, please. Ephesians 2:13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off, are made nigh. There's the words. Made nigh. What are we made nigh? How? By the blood of Christ. What is this saying? this is saying that before I came to Christ, I couldn't even get close to God. Think about this. This is why we've got to preach this message. It's Bible. It's not Ben. It's not Baptist. It's Bible. There are so many people in this world today that are trying to get close to God in their own way, and it won't work. It's what did Solomon say in Ecclesiastes? Vanity. There we go. Striving. And you know what? Some really good moral people that are striving and striving to get favor with God. And the Bible says here, the only way I can be made nigh or be close is by the blood of Christ. Now, on the other side of the coin, we who are saved, oh, what a beautiful truth that is. Wow! Because we have yielded and humbled ourselves, we are unworthy, by the way, of this gift. But we receive it by faith. And the minute that we receive this gift, this precious blood, we who were once an enemy of God, we who once could not even come close to God, the moment, and I'm talking the millisecond, that faith comes in and you receive and believe the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. As soon as that happens, then you have and I have the ability to get as close to God as we want to. Wow. And God says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Get close to me. And what does he say? I will give you rest. Boy, for the believer, the blood of Jesus Christ means so much. We could park there and just keep going, but we probably should keep moving. Number four, we are justified by his blood. I got to come back. We are made nigh. I just can't get over that. You know what? Sitting in your chair at home, reading your Bible, sitting on the table, wherever you read God's word, riding in the car, praying on the way to work. Hopefully your eyes are open. Amen. And you're praying on the way to work and you're sitting on the SkyTrain or whatever. You can get as close to God. I mean, there's all kinds of wickedness around us in this world today, but that wickedness means nothing in the sight of God. He sees the robe of righteousness on me. He sees the blood of his son on me, and I can go right into his throne room in the name of Jesus through the blood of his son and talk to the Creator God who said, let there be light, and there was light. To the Creator God who spoke this world into existence, he wants to have a close relationship. We are made nigh. How sad it is for a believer to not be getting close to God when God says, come, come, come. Do a study on it in the Bible many times. He says, come. Okay, we're justified. Romans 5:9. Let me just give you these. Much more than being now justified by his blood, just as if we had never even sinned one time. That just really, I can't really wrap my head around that one. That's what justification is. It comes through the blood of Christ. Number five, his blood cleanseth us from all sin. 1 John 1:7. I'm not reading all of these, but I'm just giving them to you for time's sake. Number six, his blood was shed for the remission of sin. What is the difference? The word remission means pardon or forgiveness. Matthew 26:28. Jesus shed his blood that he might sanctify you and me. Hebrews 13:12. Redemption is a moment decision. Redemption is a moment decision. Like, boom, I want to get saved. Boom, that's what it is right there. Next comes the lifetime of what we call sanctification. How do we get sanctified? Right here it says, Hebrews 13:12, wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood. So my sanctification also comes through the power of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. What does sanctification mean? It means becoming more like Christ. However long you've been saved, you should be more like Christ today than the day you got saved. However long I've been saved, I should be more like Christ. Not less, but more. Number 8, we have boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. We said that earlier. Hebrews 10:19. And lastly, the blood of Jesus Christ purchased the church. Acts 20:28. Hope you can go through and read these verses. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock. This is Acts 20:28. Over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Look, this church was not purchased by Pastor Turner's whatever, or Mrs. Turner's whatever. This church was purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. And as we consider that, it is all the more reason that we need to pray and pray and pray that this church stays pure. That this church is not run by emotion, but it's run by truth. You don't have to go very far to find a church run by emotion. We don't want to be an emotional church. Nothing wrong with emotion. I'm not saying it's wrong, but it can't run the church. Because guess what happens to my emotions? They do this. But this book, it doesn't do that. This book goes on a straight line. We want to be, as we taught years ago from one of Pastor Sexton's books, we want to be a first century church. How the church was founded in the Bible. Why? Because it was purchased with his blood. What a sacrifice. And when Jesus Christ returns, Revelation 19, verse 13 says that he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. I wonder today, do you have the blood of Jesus applied to your life? Not, oh yes, I'm good, I'm okay. No, have you ever trusted Christ as Savior? Please don't leave here without talking to someone. We're not going to twist anybody's arm. Maybe you've heard of Van Gogh and Monet, these famous paintings. There's a story I share with you as we close of a man, a very wealthy man, who had a huge collection of these paintings. And he had one son, this man. They traveled the world trying to find these paintings. One by one, they just snatch them up. His son enlisted in the army and was placed in the medical corps. One day, carrying a wounded soldier to safety, the son was seriously wounded and died. His mother and the wife of the man, she was dead already. And the news devastated the father. He grieved in loneliness for months. One day a knock came at the door of this man, and he responded and found a young man with a package. The young man explained that he was one of the soldiers that the son had carried to safety. Knowing of his interest in paintings, this man had painted a picture of the son, the soldier, and gave it to his father. It wasn't rare, but it was precious to the father because it was a good resemblance of his son. This man, this father, moved every valuable painting off of his mantle. And in the place of these valuable paintings, you can guess what he did. He put the one picture of his son. He would sit in his rocking chair and look at that picture hour after hour after hour. Finally, this elderly man would die, and everything that he owned was put up for sale. You cannot imagine how many collectors came to that auction because of the well-known collection that he had. The auctioneer announced that they would start the auction with the picture of his son. And everyone in the crowd moaned with disappointment. Let's get on to the real ones. The son's picture was held up. And as only an auctioneer could do, who will give 100? Who will give 50? Who will give 25? Nobody responded. Until a gentleman all the way in the back, way back there by Brother Alex, he said, will you take $10? Sold. $10 for the picture of the likeness of his son. And everyone said, okay, hey, let's get on now. We know there's a lot of really nice paintings. And the auctioneer spoke up and said this, quote, ladies and gentlemen, that concludes the auction. The crowd was buzzing. And the crowd was upset. I mean, who knows how far they had traveled there for that. He brought the will out and a statement was made in the will that said the son's picture was to be sold first. And whoever bought the son's picture would get the rest of the collection. $10. The picture of the son. The old man who gave $10 for the picture of the son was suddenly amazed at the fact that he now owned all the valuable paintings. See, when you and I say yes to the Son, we get all the other benefits that come along with it. And it's not just going to heaven, by the way. To me, I think that's kind of a P.S. I mean, I'm thankful for it. Don't get me wrong. But I'm really glad that because I'm saved now, I have God in me now. Because I can't imagine living in this body and living in this world without God's presence in my life. And because of salvation, that's one of the benefits that we have, is the presence of God. How about you today? As Moses came to the children of Israel, he said, here's all you have to do. Simple, guys. You're not going to believe this. Just listen. It's really simple. All you have to do is get one of your lambs that are beautiful, no spot, no blemish. You know, cut its neck, get that blood, put it on an instrument, wipe it on the door, and everything will be fine. The same is true thousands of years later. Only you don't have to go out and kill a lamb. The lamb's already been killed. The Lamb of God, who taketh away the sin of the world. What's required of you, if you haven't, is to say yes to the Lamb.